Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing us to come into your home and speak to you, and I hope we can speak into your heart this morning. I've worked hard this past week trying to look at Easter from a little different angle because, you know, someone like me who's been in church since they've been 13 years old, we've been here a lot. So I'd like to start in an Old Testament scripture, and I've entitled this sermon, Keep King Jesus Alive in You. So back in the Old Testament, there's a man, he was a young man, a young prophet, and his name was Isaiah. Isaiah was in a place and time in which Israel and the people of God was beginning to leave the church scene again, God again. They were worshiping idols. They were in immorality. And they were at such a time that it wasn't good. And God was always warning his people, if you stray from me, there's going to be judgment. It's going to be bad. The wages of sin is death. And so Isaiah found himself in a bad, sinful time. And let me show you the reason. Let me show you, this really is quite amazing that in the first chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah himself opens up with the warning to God's people. It says here in the first verse, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for I, the Lord, have spoken. I have nourished and brought up my children, and they have rebelled." What a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers. I mean, this man, wow, he came on the scene and he was like laying it out. He was like putting the roar into the lion. It's like, oh my goodness. Wow. Young, but on fire for God. He said, I'm going to be going somewhere, but I wanted to show you that Isaiah was such a powerful preacher and prophet in a bad, bad time. And children, he said, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked him to anger, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. And he goes on, and the book of Isaiah is kind of like a miniature Bible. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, and there's 39 books in Isaiah that pronounce judgment and careful analysis of, if you stray from God, this is what's going to happen. And the next 27 chapters of Isaiah kind of turns around. And that's the way the New Testament is, with 27 chapters. But let me show you how bad it was in his day. He went on in the first chapter and he said, "We would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah." And we all know how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was. So what a way to start Easter, I know. But in Isaiah's time, it was really bad, and he was warning them. So we live in a time when we have a choice. Do we follow the Israelites that strayed from God and began to serve other creatures and other idols, or do we follow him further on into Isaiah, and he begins to give us light of a Messiah. He begins to give us light, and he begins to give us hope of a time coming. Isaiah knew in his heart that there was a Messiah coming, and he prophesied it. He prophesied there was a Messiah coming. So then he goes from this gloom and doom, and all of a sudden he begins to lighten the load a little because there is a Savior and there's a Messiah and there was hope in the gospel. There's always hope. There's always hope. In chapter 60, in verse in Isaiah, book of Isaiah, just before I read that, I want you to know I'm very concerned and very aware of the times in which we live. As a church, as a family, as an individual, as a state, as a nation, we face unusual circumstances, we face unusual times, and our minds are on it. And I know that. But you know what? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego face some very uncertain times also. Isaiah faced some very uncertain times. And yet they said, no matter what happens, we are not going to bow to these idols. We're not going to bow to the devil. We're going to give in, and we're going to say, Lord, we're yours. If we go in the fire, we know you can save us, but if you don't, we know that we're still going to be, we've got an eternity to live with you, praise you. And so, you know, in this life, we have choices to make. But in chapter 60, the words are, arise, shine, for your light has come, and for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's like all of a sudden Isaiah, you know, began to give him hope and began to, you know, he kind of really lectured him and scolded him for following idols and the different nations would, you know, go after other gods. And it was so easy to follow the other gods. But he said, the darkness has covered the earth, but the Lord will arise in you. He'll cover you with his glory. The kings of brightness will come. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, lift up your eyes and look. Some I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, look up your eyes and look. And then you'll see the radiance. You'll begin to see. We have to lift up our eyes. Because what are we going to see? In chapter 63, in verse 9, it says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved him. And he begins to declare what we'll see. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to anoint me to preach the gospel to those that are sick. Preach the gospel and heal. Who's going to do that? The Spirit of the Lord and the Messiah that's going to come. There was hope coming. Centuries before Jesus arrived on the earth, Isaiah sent in his spirit. And Jesus loved Isaiah so much that even in the New Testament, it's written that he was reading the gospel of Isaiah. Did you ever feel something? Did you ever sense the Spirit of the Lord? Did you ever sense God? You know, believers are different. Agnostics, they say, I don't say there is a God, and I don't say I'm in disbelief. Atheists say there is no God. But have you ever felt, really felt the presence of the Lord? It's very, very real. And perception is everything. It's how we perceive what we believe. Believing is not always seeing. So we have hope. A Messiah was coming. Did you know Jesus, in a real sense, was a martyr? But there's no salvation in a martyr. There was martyrs before him and there was martyrs after him. There was, and they'll have their place in heaven. Revelation talks about a special place in heaven for the martyrs. But if Jesus would have died on what we call Good Friday and never had a resurrection, he would have been a wonderful teacher and a teacher of righteousness. He would have been a martyr for our gospel. But he wouldn't have been a savior. He wouldn't have been a Messiah. And the Apostle Paul said, without a resurrection, there is no salvation. And that's why we must believe. We must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's arisen. We believe that. And he showed himself to his disciples and many after his resurrection. So there's no salvation in a martyr, but there is in a resurrected Christ. So I want you to celebrate that. Get that in our hearts. Realize he is risen. And like they were saying, he's risen indeed. It's really, really a fact in the life of the believers. Now I know that there's stress and there's burdens in life. And they have a tendency to weigh us down. And I know our minds in the day and age we live, in the coronavirus day, this is very, very real. And our minds go to it, we listen to it, and we need to be aware of it. But we also need to know that in anything that we do, God is willing and able to carry us. He's able to carry us. He's got the strength. Did you know the scripture says that he neither slumbers nor sleeps? He doesn't know what sleep is. He doesn't know what weariness. The Spirit of God can give us strength in times of trouble. We see it all through the New Testament. We see it all through the Bible. And yet in times of trouble, sometimes it's easy to forget the promises of God. It's really easy to forget because we're human. So, you know, this morning, maybe I need a reminder. Maybe we need a reminder that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and trust him, and we still have a Savior. We still have the light. We have a sign over here that says, living the call, be light in the darkness. In times of trouble, there is light. Don't tell anybody I told you this, but we're like Motel 6. We'll keep the light on for you. We have the light. How do we do this? How do we keep the light on? Well, one way we can do it is by believing in the gift of eternal salvation. And some people are really afraid to say that word, eternal salvation. I am not. Christ died, resurrected, gave his life for us that we could live eternally with him. We are sealed with him. The scripture says the Spirit seals us, takes us, and he says we live in the hands of him. And Jesus even made the challenge. Who can pluck you out of my hand? We're secure. We are safe in him. Don't be afraid of saying that. I'm not. I know the philosophies and the doctrines, but don't be afraid of saying that. We have eternal security. We have eternal rest. We have eternal glory, praising God forever. Because this life does end. Every single one of us. You know, people that are arrogant, people that are boastful, and people that just don't believe it. One day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But also, another way we can keep light on is knowing that there is grace and mercy for us all the days of our life, all the days of this life. At the end of Psalms 23, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not my notes. I try to, you know, if you know me long enough, I can't talk without bringing up Psalms. It just can't happen. Because I find a pleasure in it. I find security in it. I find victory in it. It says, bring out the Psalms. Bring out the timbering. Bring out. We have a reason to celebrate this morning. Like Dave said, it is the greatest event that happened in the history of mankind in the world over. It's the greatest thing that ever occurred. The resurrection of Jesus. Wow. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Be excited about it. Wow. Something that never occurred before nor since. It because he was sinless. There was some raised from the dead, but not sinless. Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, sinless, and gave his life for us, resurrected in a glorified body. He didn't want anyone to touch him after he was glorified and raised. He wanted to reveal himself, and he revealed himself to many, but he did not want to be touched. You know, sometimes we have to think vertically, and sometimes we have to think horizontally. We have to think clearly. I don't understand some things. I don't understand how intelligent people can come up with ideas that defy medical science or the, you know, I don't want to get into debates or philosophies, but I actually heard, I didn't, this isn't secondhand, I heard the message of a man that's a mega pastor in Florida preaching that this coronavirus is, quote, a phantom plague. He spoke it, he said it, he preached a message. The coronavirus is a phantom plague. And a lot of people follow that. A lot of people believe him. And I feel like an ant in an anthill. Because I feel like I don't have any right to say anything. This man has a good salary. He's got a mega church. But when people believe things like that, they're not thinking horizontally. They're not thinking clearly. They're not thinking rationally or live in the real world. The coronavirus is very real. Walk into New York City. Walk into the hospital. Go in there. People that can talk big and preach a bit better than I can, let them walk into the hospitals without a mask and say, I'm here to deliver you. It is, you know what? You'll walk out with coronavirus because that's the medical and scientific way. It just is real. I don't understand how they can say it's a phantom plague. And people follow that stuff. It's because our minds are not where they should be. The Bible says, let our minds be as the mind of Christ. If we're following him, we're not going to be falling into false ways. We're going to be living in reality. That's living horizontally. You and I have to walk through this life. I'm no different than you. I have to walk through this life and make choices and realize what's real, what's fact, and what's faith. Sometimes that's a whole different message, but the difference between fact and faith. But the phantom plague is kind of, you know, it's taught to be an illusion, a figment of our imagination, and we know that it is not. No matter who says it, it's not. Okay, moving on. In April, which we're in April, we're in the spring season. The trees are budding. Gene and I have a few flowers around our property, and we see the flowers growing, the white daffodils and different kind of flowers popping up, and we have ornamental trees, and they're covered with white buds. They're covered. They're beautiful. We see them pushing up because it's new life. And you know, we all had an old life. We all had a sin. We all came from a sinful nature. But when we become born again, we have a new life. And, you know, I want to encourage you today, not just to have an acquaintance with Jesus. An acquaintance is someone you're aware of. Not an acquaintance, but a relationship. There is a difference. A lot of people, they say, I believe in God. Well, I believe in God. They have an acquaintance. They know that, you know, they might even believe that Jesus was real or God is real, but they don't have a relationship, and that's what we need. We need a relationship to surrender to the Creator. We need to love Him. Jesus said, and I kind of take this as a challenge to me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wow. If you love me. A lot of people say, I love God. Jesus said, the Master said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, That's the test. How are we experiencing that test? Are people seeing us? How do people see us? How do people see you? What flows from you? What do people see? Because you are the walking witness. You are the testimony. A lot of times people try to talk you out of that. I want to let you know that no one can talk you out of an experience. When you've had an experience with God, when you have felt His presence, when you felt the burden of sin lift, when you have felt and known your heart, and you've experienced something with this supernatural Creator and God and this Lord Jesus Christ, no one can talk you out of an experience. And if an agnostic or an atheist says to you, you can't show it to me, you can say, I'm sorry, you're too late. You're just too late. I've already experienced and I understand what God meant for me. I believe the word of God and I sense it and I feel it and I know it in my heart. I know it in my soul. I had a pastor that he wasn't my pastor, but I knew of a pastor, and we're very close friends. And he was my spiritual hero growing up. And one day he told me he was witnessing to a man, and I know the man. And man never got saved, never had anything to do with church, never had anything to do with God. And he was witnessing to this man because this man was on his deathbed, and his name was George. And he said, George, and he witnessed to him. He tried to lay out the plan of salvation. He could not get this man to change his mind. And in the end, the man told him, when it was time to go, the man told him, he said, you know what? He said, this is my decision, and I'm going to take my chance. I'll take my chances. And this friend of mine, I'll say his first name, was Pastor Keith. He said to this man, he said, okay, I just want to leave you with this. He says, you're passing over. We both know you're passing over onto the other side, and he agreed. He said, but I want you to know this. If I'm wrong, I don't have anything to lose. But if you're wrong, you have everything to lose. And the man wouldn't change his mind. He said, I'll take my chances. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to take a chance with eternity. That's a long, long time. I don't want to take a chance between heaven and hell. Jesus made the way. Let's accept it. Let's believe it. Let's be believers in something. We have some faith that believe that in Christ, but they don't believe in the resurrection. Paul said, without the resurrection, there is no salvation. So we have Jesus who conquered death, hell, and the grave. We have him 3 days ago. Then we have Silent Saturday. Then we have Sunday morning and the greatest, you know, resurrection of the power that he exhibited of rising from the dead and become taking on a glorious body. And our Lord becomes Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and nothing and no place can hold him. So we have death, the resurrection, and the ascension. Sometimes we kind of forget about that. But Jesus went about for 40 days revealing himself, wanting to see, let people see that he's, you know, real and that he's alive. And he did rise from the dead as he said he would. So we have Jesus revealing himself time and time again. He went into his disciples like a spirit went through the walls. And he said, whoa, that startled us. A man just appeared. This was Christ. We recognize him. And Thomas said, I don't believe you are the Christ. And he said, Thomas, look at my hands. See me. Touch him if you wish. But I want you to know I am the Christ. And Thomas said, behold, I believe. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You're blessed. Jesus left us with a blessing at the ascension. After Jesus had revealed himself many times, and I believe it was 500 that in a multitude. Now, 500 back then, that was a lot of people. You see, it's dependent on how many people were on the earth. Today, we have approximately 7 billion, maybe more. But back then, there wasn't many people. So when you had a multitude of 500, that was a crowd. And Jesus wanted them to know that he was real and that he had resurrected from the dead, and he showed them his hands. And on the ascension, you'll find it in Luke 24:50, he said, the Bible says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He was about to raise back to the Father. He was about to go back in his glorious body. The Creator, who at the time in Genesis said, God and he had talked and said, let us create man. He was the Creator. He was all powerful. He was omnipotent. He was the Creator. He said, in all me, all power is given in heaven and earth. And he said, be a good cheer. For I have overcome the world. And Jesus gives that power to overcome through him, and we can become overcomers. Jesus was in Bethany on the time of the ascension, and the scene had to be very remarkable because he was leaving his last blessings and his words. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them with authority. They could see he was real. They could see his hand pierced hands. And they gazed up And as they gazed up, he began to bless them and say, I'm going away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you my Holy Spirit. It's, you know, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're going to see me physically go, but I will not leave you comfortless. So we can't see him, but the Holy Spirit, who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, is all-powerful, is with us. So we either believe that or we don't. But that's why we're believers. So on his ascension, there was no, when Elijah ascended, it seemed like that had to be glorious. A chariot of fire and all this. But Jesus, in all of his simplicity, he blessed his people. He wanted them to know that his presence was going to be with them. His power is going to be with them. His blessings was going to be on them. And they were going to, he was going to depart. But he wanted them to know that I'll be with you now and to the end of the world. And you know, his blessings that he left with his disciples and the crowd that was there that day is for us. Everything that's in the New Testament, everything that is in the Word is for us. And everything that we find on Easter Sunday is for you and I to be excited about, share, and wow, what a grand exit Jesus gave. Simple but powerful. Lifting, defying gravity. The scripture says he lifted off into the sky and into the clouds, and he parted with a blessing. Why? Because he lives. He lives. I love that song, Christ Jesus Lives in Our Hearts. So this morning, I hope you can be excited and know that this Easter Sunday, we do serve a real, living, all-powerful, omniscient, unbelievable, holy Jesus of Nazareth. You know, Solomon, who was one of the smartest men that Scripture says ever lived because of the anointing of God that he put on him, he said he looked to behold a Savior, and he says, he is altogether lovely, altogether lovely. He's our A to Z. He's our counselor. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our Master. And I'm so happy that we can know him. I'm so happy we can think about him and live for him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the light that you gave us. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't even feel qualified to speak your word, but we do because we know that it's real. We believe in a living word. Of all the books written in the world, it's the Bible, the living word, alive. Wow. That takes belief. But Lord, we thank you that you dropped it in our hearts to believe. We thank you that you're after the unbeliever and you want to enhance and you want everyone to be able to come to the foot of the cross. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. We thank you that you have open arms. And when you left this earth, you opened your arms, you blessed your people. And Lord, we accept your blessing. We accept your encouragement. Lord, inspire us to walk this week knowing that you are alive. And we want to keep you alive in our hearts and in our minds. Keep your hands upon your people this week, Lord, as we face another tough week. I know that it'll be things that we wish weren't here, but Jesus, we pray that you'll walk with us and talk with us and make your presence so real to us that we'll live in your word and know that no matter what happens, we're yours. And we give our lives in you, and we give our lives into your hands, into the hands of a living Most High God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. In that matchless and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Go with God, and he will go with you.